Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Today we are reading from Srimad Bhagavad Gita, Chapter 6, Text 33. Would you like to repeat after me, Prabhu? Would you want me to? Yes? Okay. Arjuna Uvacha. It's on page 281 in my book. Chapter 6, Text 33. Arjuna Uvacha. Yoyam yogas tvaya prokta. Samyena Madhusudan. Etasyaham na pasyami. Chanchalavat stitim stiram. Arjuna vacha. Arjun said, Ya ayam. This system, yoga, mysticism, tavya, bayu, proktaha, described, samyena, generally, Madhusudan, O killer of the demon Madhu, etasya, of this, aham, I, na, do not, pasyami, see, kanvalatvat, kan, chanchalatvat, due to being restless, stitim, situation, stiram, stable. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Arjuna said, O Madhusudan, the system of yoga which you have summarized appears impractical and unendurable to me, for the mind is restless and unsteady. Purport. The system of mysticism described by Lord Krishna to Arjuna, beginning with the words Sachao Deshe and ending with Yogi Paramaha, is here being rejected by Arjuna out of a feeling of inability. It is not possible for an ordinary man to leave home and go to a secluded place in the mountains or jungles to practice yoga in this age of Kali. The present age is characterized by a bitter struggle for a life of short duration. People are not serious about self-realization, even by simple, practical means, and what to speak of this difficult yoga system, which regulates the mode of living, the manner of sitting, selection of place, and detachment of the mind from material engagements. As a practical man, Arjuna thought it was impossible to follow this system of yoga, even though he was favorably endowed in many ways. He belonged to the royal family and was highly elevated in terms of numerous qualities. He was a great warrior. He had great longevity, and above all, he was the most intimate friend of Lord Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. 5,000 years ago, Arjuna had much better facilities than we do now, yet he refused to accept this system of yoga. In fact, we do not find any record in history of his practicing it at any time. Therefore, this system must be considered generally impossible in this age of Kali. Of course, it may be possible for some very rare men, very few rare men, but for the people in general, it is an impossible proposal. If this were so 5,000 years ago, then what of the present day? Those who are imitating this yoga system in different so-called schools and societies, although complacent, are generally wasting their time. They are completely in ignorance of the desired goal. Om Agyanatam Randasya Gnanjanan Shalakaya Chakshur Malitam Yena Tashmai Sri Gurve Namaha. Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shri Vasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. Arjun said, Umarasunan, the system of yoga which we have summarized appears impractical and unendurable to me, for the mind is restless and unsteady. So this is Arjuna's response to Krishna's teaching on yoga. Krishna in the Gita explains philosophy, and when they drove out into the battlefield, in the middle of the battlefield, Arjuna had a breakdown, and he surrendered to Krishna and said, "Krishna, I am at a loss. I see my family here in front of me. They want to fight with me. It'd be better if I just leave." And he surrenders to Krishna at that point. And Krishna is giving instructions. And Krishna is going about this in a very methodical way. And is also giving us insight into methods that existed then. So he's explaining the yoga system that was in existence at that time, which is the Eightfold Yoga Path, which people today are practicing. And Srila Prabhupada in the purport beautifully says, even when Srila Prabhupada spoke this purport, we're talking about the 60s, early 70s. Nowadays, we're 2012 and people are really big into yoga. And we're actually actively preaching in yoga centers. I've had the good fortune to go to a couple of places where my temple president preaches. And so we see that at the end of the purport, Srila Prabhupada said they are completely in ignorance of the desired goal, which I find very interesting, because when we look at time, place, and circumstance, at that time people were completely in ignorance of the desired goal, and we find now there are some few people who, by practicing this method, which is a valid method of God realization, they're finding that they're not making advancements. There are people who are practicing this yoga system for 10, 20, 30, 40 years in this country, or in especially in the U.S., where I do my preaching. And they look around and say, "Well, what happened to me? I'm 20, 30, 40 years later, and I haven't made any advancement. So how is it possible? What am I doing wrong?" And so when the Hare Krishna show up and said, the method you're practicing, as Srila Prabhupada says, it's, even though it's valid, it was an impossibility 5,000 years ago for Arjuna, who is, compared to the modern day yogi, way more qualified, and Arjuna rejects the system. And when I read a purport like this, I feel a sense of relief. Of like, well, thank God I don't have to go do that, because yoga isn't the hatha yoga that people do isn't an intense practice where people go for hours at the time, and many times a week, and the only thing that they have to show for it is a really fit body. So what they find is that they get to be really good at sense gratification, which, if you want to be a serious yogi, is really not good for your spiritual life. And then when we show up as Hare Krishna preachers and tell them, yes, there are wonderful texts on yoga. The Bhagavad Gita gives wonderful instructions on the different types of yoga. So the yoga you're doing is good. Please keep on doing it. We don't tell people to stop doing their yoga, but we want them to add Krishna consciousness. We tell them to chant. We tell them to engage in devotional service. I think that, do you have any questions? Any questions, Prabhu? That I can. Do you have a comment on this verse? Yes, please.
Mm-hmm. But you get to jump across a river and when I meet our souls, it's just, especially in the first time, I felt wow, I really get to be here. And find my way to Krishna. Because the rest is like a waste of time.
Yes, yes, we are very lucky. And that's what I found is that, you know, we're given a shortcut, you know, in practicing bhakti. And the bhakti yoga system, like what we do and what I think people in hatha yoga don't understand is that yogis, what yogis try to do, yogis try to control. And it's almost impossible to control your senses, because that's what, you know, everything is about sense control. So the good thing about bhakti yoga is that we use all of our senses. You know, it's like, I like seeing beautiful things. It's like, my eyes want to see beautiful things. My nose wants to smell, you know, very nice fragrances. My tongue wants to taste, you know, and so my hands want to touch. And so when I come to the temple, I can take the Lord's darshan. I can look at these beautiful deities. And they're dressed differently every single day. And so I can give my eyes an object. And so I'm still engaging my senses, but I'm engaging my senses for Krishna. Which is and Srila Prabhupada says, you know, there are very simple methods. And so the bhakti yoga method is a very simple method. And by starting the simple method, you're going to make spiritual advancement. When I came to Krishna consciousness 3 years ago, I was practicing yoga for about 7 or 8 years. And when I started talking to the monks, the brahmacharis, and they were giving me instruction, I scratched my head and I said, oh my God. I thought that I was, you know, made some spiritual advancement, but I didn't really make any advancement in the last 8 years that I practiced yoga. Now I'm just starting my spiritual life. And so it's nice to know what to do. It's also nice what not to do. So it's a relief that I know that I don't have to go and, you know, do this system of, you know, trying to put my body in a certain way. And, you know, and the one thing that's beautiful about bhakti too is that, you know, when especially when people come to the temple and I serve in Laguna Beach, and we tell them to come back. You know, please come back. And, you know, we ask $3 for a donation for prasadam, which is, you know, it's like, and we've been doing this since the early 70s, and it's been $3 ever since. And if people say, well, I'm sorry, we don't have, it's like, just come back. Don't worry about it. You know, so it's actually just about free. You know, it's like, come to the temple. Like, and then, you know, it's like our lifestyle is simple. Simple living, high thinking. So what do we need? We need some cloth. We need, you know, a roof over our head. We need a little bit of prasadam. And that's it. And I don't know people who are, in general, who are, you know, more happy than devotees of Krishna. Which is the reason that I joined. You know, I joined because I was inspired by the individuals. The one thing when I talk to people and I explain to them what do I do, what is, you know, bhakti yoga all about, and, you know, I'm visiting my family, they're freaked out, they don't know anything. There's Hare Krishna, it's like, you know, weird color cloth. And so when I talk to them, I explain to them, well, what I give myself is I give myself enough intelligence to recognize intelligence. That's as far as I'll go. And I haven't found people who are more intelligent than in this movement, and philosophers who know any more philosophy than people in our movement. If we read the books of the Goswamis, Jiva Goswami, he is the foremost philosopher. And then the Srila Prabhupada, who gave us, you know, all these books and these purports. And then I don't know who this was, but some of Prabhupada's disciples later, like, spend a lot of time reading the books that Srila Prabhupada didn't have a chance to translate. And but one of the remarks that I remember hearing is that he said, well, every time I read something that was of major importance, it's like, I already knew it. Because it's right there in Srila Prabhupada's purports. So Srila Prabhupada gave us everything in these purports. And so when I read Srila Prabhupada's purports, I'm very inspired. Because Srila Prabhupada gave us everything. It's nice to sometimes pick up and say, okay, well, what else is there to read? You know, pick up the writings of Bhaktivinoda Thakur. But when I come back to Srila Prabhupada, and even just picking up the Gita again and again, so I've been reading it for, you know, just about 3 years. It's so new and so fresh every single time. And the depth of Srila Prabhupada's purports always amazes me. It's absolutely phenomenal. And every day an inspiration. And even today when, you know, I like, didn't have time to prepare for this class, or, you know, just walked into the temple and say, hey, you know, can you say something? I'm always inspired. That's something that, you know, it's like it doesn't, you know, cease to amaze me that every time I pick up this book, every time I pick up my beads, you know, we're chanting, there's three words, you know, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. It doesn't go old. It's like we keep on doing this. We spend hours each day. We do japa. We chant together. And I think it's an absolutely phenomenal process. It's so simple. We use japa beads, and if you have no money, we'll give you japa beads. But you don't need japa beads. You got your fingers. You know, we can chant. We can always chant, and then we're always in the Lord's association because Krishna and His name are non-different. And so when we go through our day, we're doing real yoga. And that's what yoga really is about, is linking ourselves with the divine. And chanting the Lord's names is the simplest process. I mean, how more simple can you get than a chant that you don't even need to use your vocal cords for? If you really want to, you can be silent and chant like that. We're instructed to chant loudly simply because we're not that advanced, and we need to hear at the same time and really be purified. But it's such a beautiful and simple process, this chanting of the holy names, that we're so fortunate to be able to do, you know, every single day and come to this, you know, come to this room and associate with the devotees. And so this is what Srila Prabhupada gave us. I've actually found this, you know, in my travels now. I joined in Laguna Beach 3 years ago and did not leave Southern California for 3 years. And though I know that Srila Prabhupada built a house that the whole world can live in, I've been to India in the last 3 months. I've now visited Radhadesh. I've been to Germany. And everywhere I go, I, you know, just walk into a building that I've never been before. I meet people that I've never seen before. And Krishna's devotees are very kind and merciful. They smile. They say Hare Krishna, which is just such a wonderful thing. And they say, where are you from, Prabhu? And it's like, oh, well, that's so nice. You know, and then, you know, what brought you here? And what do we do? Start doing the program. Get up for Mangal Arati and, you know, chant my rounds, eat some prasadam, do some more chanting. If you're lucky, get some service. And that's what we do. It's such a simple process. And it's so joyful. And so my inspiration is the devotees. And we get the mercy through the devotees as well, which is quite phenomenal. So that's the reason that I came here. I came for some mercy, and lo and behold, you know, I had the chance to speak a few words or for my own purification, try to share some of my experiences and insights in Krishna consciousness. So any, yes, your question, Prabhu, please.
Sorry. Just one question. Can you explain a little bit how is your life, devotee life in the US, and how is your Christian, because I'm French, and I've been in the US since last year.
Hare Krishna. Yes.
So maybe
The Laguna Beach Temple is in Orange County, which is one of the richest counties in the whole of the U.S. ISKCON has had a center there since the early beginning of the movement in the U.S. When Srila Prabhupada started the L.A. Temple, a lot of devotees came from Laguna Beach. Laguna Beach is an artist colony. There are about 25,000 people who live there, and in the summer, a lot of people come there. It's not so much a resort town, but people come, and there's about 50,000 people who live in Laguna Beach in the summer. We have a very, very old building that's a church. Srila Prabhupada was never there, and we have large Panchatattva deities and Jagannath Baladev and Subhadra as well on our altar. We're about two blocks from the beach, so actually from our patio you can see the water. We get a lot of guests, a lot of first time guests. We have a lot of friends that are relatively close to the temple. Since we've been there for 40 years, people know about Hare Krishna. We used to be on the streets a lot. We still do some book distribution. We do some Harinam, so people are very positive. Our community comes mainly from Irvine, which is a town that's about I'd say 20-25 minute drive. So we have a mix of some Indian and some white bodies. Preaching in the U.S. is difficult because people are, and especially in Laguna Beach, people are very well situated. The houses there, they're multi-million dollar houses. People have money, so they're able to enjoy at this time. But like I said, they're very positive. The nice thing about Laguna Beach is that when we do Harinam, the locals know us. So they're like, oh, here's the Krishnas. And they're like, hi, how are you? It's good to see you. You don't come out enough. And the people who are visiting, who are not from town, they're like, okay, well, if you're somewhere where you've never been, you're a guest, anything that happens is just okay, because I guess this is what's going on in the town. So then people are, they're on holiday and they're open to it. We had Vaisheshika Prabhu visit us 2 years ago at Gorpanim, and he instructed us on book distribution. We were doing about 500 books each year. Last year, we distributed 15,000 books. So we went from 500 to 15,000 by, Vaisheshika Prabhu's mercy. And I'd say probably 98% of those books were distributed by our congregation. We don't have many temple devotees who go out. I sometimes join them. There's a few others, but the bulk of the work is done by our congregation, which is absolutely phenomenal. I had the good fortune to meet a devotee about 10 years ago who told me to come see his guru. That was a follower of Narayan Maharaj, and I went to see the devotees and received instruction on the philosophy, because and I was sold on the philosophy straight away. I wasn't sold on the form straight away, so that took me 8 years to adjust to. But I grew up as a Christian. I've practiced Judaism and practiced these philosophies in a serious way. I studied the yoga movement and tried to be a Mayavad yogi, which was a major disaster, and found that there is no higher philosophy on this planet that is easily accessible. There are many bhaktas in many of the religions, but they're hidden everywhere. I know one Christian bhakta. He lives in Laguna Beach, and so when we meet other bhaktas in other traditions, when we talk to them, when I talk to my friend, his name is Kino, when I talk to him, he's a devotee of Jesus. The moment he starts talking, actually, he's physically, his body completely changes. Like he becomes softer. He doesn't cry, but he has, I can see his emotional state, that his heart is a little softer. It's like he speaks more gentle, and there's love emanating from him, because he loves his Lord so much. And so I can recognize him as a bhakta. He recognizes the devotees as bhaktas. When he comes, and he joins us sometimes, and sometimes he gets freaked out and doesn't come for 2 months. But he finds in the temple that we have a connection with God. Because if you talk about Krishna, Krishna is God, Well, if God exists, which, you know, we've heard from Srila Prabhupada, we know, you know, we have the books. There's only one, you know. So when we meet people from other traditions, it's like we're the same family. We recognize them as a pure soul. And so when my friend Kino, when I meet on this level, he's very comfortable. But then when he looks with material eyes, he's now like, well, what's the form, the deities on the altar? It confuses him. But bhakti is beautiful, that when we have, you know, the personal interactions, that when, you know, people are able to look beyond the form, and especially when you preach one-on-one, it doesn't really matter what you wear, it doesn't matter what the color of your cloth is, because people look into your eyes. And that's where people see, you know, what you're really all about. And so when you're preaching, and you say, well, you know what, this is what's made me happy. And what we do is, I heard in Sri Sri Radha Gopinath Mandir that we don't convert people. You know, and in a way it's like if someone wants to convert, we're like, nah, just, you know, forget about it. It's like we want to change people's hearts. You know, come and if you want to be a Christian, that's wonderful. Like have a change of heart. Find the bhakti in that in as a Christian. We'd be totally thrilled. Yeah, I think Srila Prabhupada once, you know, when the devotee said, well, you know, there's this Muslim and he's chanting, it's like, well, yeah, it's wonderful if he's chanting Allah. It's like, shouldn't he be chanting Hare Krishna? It's like, no, we're not sectarian. And so what we do is we want to bring people closer to God. I find it easiest by chanting Hare Krishna, but there are other ways as well. And so that's sort of my motive of preaching when people come to the temple. I'm like, you're a pure spirit soul. How do you want to go about it? We have a philosophy. We have a science. Come, you know, you want to practice some of our science. You're more than welcome to. Please come back. I hope that answers your question, Prabhu. Hare Krishna.
As well as, let me say something like, this is more than a certain part. We see the growth in religion, especially in the religion. The preaching, nowadays, the way of preaching is like more integration and a little bit more interface also. So it's quite different from the preaching like we see from the time of the Bible.
Hare Krishna. Well, if I understand your question correctly, so what's the difference between temple devotees and their duties and how we preach nowadays? Yes. What I found and what I've heard from my temple president Tukaram Prabhu is that ISKCON has changed. That, you know, before everybody lived in the temple, we didn't much, you know, spend time with people who lived outside. The most of the people in the congregation that I'm part of live outside of the temple. I've been living in the temple for 3 years, and there are many devotees, many grihastha devotees who live outside. Who are, you know, it's like my senior by decades, way more advanced than, you know, I'll probably ever be. And it's really, our service is integrated, where it doesn't matter so much anymore if you live in the temple or outside the temple, practicing your Krishna consciousness in the community that I'm part of, which is really wonderful. Because, you know, before we were quite, you know, it's like, well, if you're outside the temple, you must be less advanced than the people, than anybody who lives inside the temple. which was, you know, somewhat of a limited point of view, which is, and something that, you know, we've at least in I think in most of ISKCON, if not all of ISKCON, left behind, because we see that there, you know, so many Grihasthas who live outside have very serious sadhana, very serious practice, and are preaching Krishna consciousness with, you know, with great success. And the way we preach, I think Harinam is fantastic. I think that, you know, I don't do enough of it. I don't think we can do enough of it, because the holy name is so powerful. It's like we said, it's like anyone who, you know, who hears the holy name, just hearing the holy name is such a purification that, and we don't see it. People are not popping up and out like now they're, you know, joining us in the kirtan and they're dedicating their lives. But this is what we're given. We're given the holy name by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And we're asking people to join. But even just, you know, to for them to hear, have, and let alone have positive thoughts about this, we're told they're liberated, and I accept this, and by really, you know, engaging people, we have a center, we have a wonderful temple, we get, you know, lots of people who visit us, we do a tremendous amount of prasadam distribution, which I think it's also a wonderful way of preaching. We go to colleges. College preaching is really wonderful, and everybody is engaged. So it's not just the temple devotees who go to these programs. Also, the Grihasthas join us in these programs. Hare Krishna. Any other questions? Thank you very much. Gaur Premanande Hari Hari Bol.